This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello. Great to be with you. Thank you for tuning in.
We've got a long list of thank yous, so I'm going to go really fast here. Most of our listeners are aware our share-a-thon was last week, and we want to thank everybody who stepped up to the plate and made a donation, because that's what it was all about. I want to thank those generous folks that contributed the larger matching challenges. That really makes our share-a-thon successful. But also all of the volunteers that came in to answer the phone and attend to the food and see that everybody had coffee and pencils to write with and everything else like that. There's a lot that goes into a share-a-thon, so thank you to everybody. Also, everybody who has jumped on our Kroger Rewards bandwagon, just got another nice check from Kroger. And we got a check from Amazon as well. So you can join either of those just by going to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. And there's a Kroger logo there and an Amazon smile. Once you register, all they're really going to ask you is what charity you want to support. Be sure to use all three words, Catholic Radio Indy. That's it. You only do it one time. You never think about it again. You don't have to mention it on the store or when you order anything online. It just happens, and Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. So if you can help us out that way, you can begin at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Yeah, and I also want to just let you know that we do have a Facebook page, Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page, and we have a lot of followers there, and it's a great way to also stay connected with us. You can get our on-demand podcast. We have many shows here that are available there, so you can just go to our website at Catholic Radio Indy, and that's a wonderful way to stay up to date, and you don't have to maybe just listen, but you can go listen on demand, right?
Oh, and I thought I was done talking, but you mentioned you mentioned podcasts, and our Catholic Radio podcasts have always been available at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. But now I challenge you to look anywhere that you normally get podcasts, whether that's iTunes, or I guess it's called Apple Podcasts now, mm-hmm. Google Podcasts, Spotify, all kinds of different places. Go and just put in either the Catholic Cave, if you want to hear the Catholic Cave, or Catholic Radio Indy, Faith in Action, and by the time you spell out Catholic Radio Indy, it'll pull it up for you automatically.
Yeah, and today we are still celebrating the season of Lent, and for, you know, that's a time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and I always think of the scripture verse, Matthew 25, you know, where we need to think about and give to the least. And the organization that we're going to be featuring today is the Merciful Help Center, which is in Carmel, Indiana. And our guest today is Jane Slayton. She is the executive director of the Merciful Help Center, and she's also the director of outreach and pastoral care at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So, Jane, thanks so much for being our guest today. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Oh, thank you, Bridget and Jim. I'm so grateful to be with you today.
Well, I'm always amazed, and we were chatting about that just before we got started, just the amount of things that are going on at the Merciful Help Center and just how much outreach you're doing there, and especially in this, you know, post-COVID time, and we're still not completely out of this, but tell our listeners a little bit about what the Merciful Help Center is, where it is, what exactly you do.
We're located just between Carmel and Westfield on 146th Street. And we service all of Hamilton County and for some services on the north side of Indy, wherever we define a food desert or a lack of a food availability, we will look into doing. So we do 46240 and 46260 right now as well. And what we do is we're a wraparound service. Are you familiar with what those are? Work with a lot of wraparound services?
I know what they are, but why don't you fill us in for maybe someone listening who hasn't heard that term before?
Oh, okay. Well, I think a great way to think about it is if you look at a person and a person walks up to them and wraps their arms around them completely and envelops them in love, it's the same kind of concept where you would look at a person's needs And you would, if they're homeless, you're working on finding a home for them and helping them budget and figure out how they're going to afford that, maybe helping them find employment or gearing them toward maybe work one to write a resume or learn some computer skills, get rid of some barriers perhaps and for an ex-felon or an expungement or perhaps even like an immigrant dealing with immigration issues that they might be having. And then you go from there and you work on, we also do furniture, so we'd furnish their home and give them large appliances. And then we have a housewares department, and these women just love them completely. And it's all basic needs. There's no picture frames, and there's no mirrors and fake flowers. It's what you need to survive in the day, and that's part of our mission is basic need. But then, you know, we would also have children's clothes, and we have baby clothes, baby pantry, all the accoutrements to keep your baby safe, all updated with the latest safety codes and all that. This is a heck of a lot of work, and thank God for volunteers because they are where it's at. It's the only reason we survive. And then a food pantry, an ongoing food pantry service where they can come every 2 weeks and replenish their food to help them get through the month. And then we really make a big deal out of, I call it the $100,000 aisle. It costs about $100,000 to keep it going all year, but it's all the stuff that's not covered by food stamps, like toilet paper, paper towels, feminine napkins and tampons, and like deodorant, shampoo, all those things that maybe would make somebody judge you because you're a little stinky that aren't covered by food stamps. We make sure we take care of all that and cleaning items. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the basics that we do. Obviously, financial aid, like looking at their situation and seeing if they need a little leg up to get first month's rent, or, you know, obviously there's a lot of other situations. A vehicle would be another barrier, so we do use vehicles. So very much looking at the circumference of the situation in total and in a very 3D version of what it is that they need versus just surface. So we get into their lives.
Now, you mentioned a term earlier. I wrote it down here, and I was going to ask you about it. I'm not sure whether I wrote down food desert or food dessert. Because,
you're giving up desserts, Jim?
That is so
Jim?
Funny.
But
let's do dessert.
Okay.
Well, I think you actually said desert now that I think about it. What is a food desert?
A food desert is a place where fresh fruits and vegetables and groceries may not be available. Recently, there was a food desert that was found in Sheridan. Sheridan's have a big grocery store. They just have a small store, like a dollar kind of a store, Dollar General, and they didn't carry, normally they don't carry fruits and vegetables, but a lot of people in the community worked hard once it was defined as a food desert to have that store carry fruits and vegetables because they weren't available. And they already had some low-cost food items. And so now, could it still be labeled food desert? Somewhat, because there's still no big grocery store up there. Now there's a Meijer going in on 32, and that's a little closer. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. But what if you don't have transportation and you walk? Sheridan is a walking community. Mm-hmm. It's a very small community. You walk everywhere you go. Walk to church, walk to school. So that would be considered a food desert. And I do a lot with Savvy, which is a group that works through IUPUI. And one of their volunteers actually, Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox volunteers at the Merciful Help Center too. And one of their leaders is an employee with Savvy. And they really do a lot of statistics in our community. So you can go into Savvy and you can like put in exactly what you're looking for, and you can find all the food pantries or where there isn't anything or where there's clothing and where there isn't any. And I do a lot of that to figure out, just to continue to make sure we have defined our area appropriately.
So I want to ask you, Jane, how did the Merciful Help Center get started, and is there a bigger umbrella organization too? Is it the Matthew 25 Center that has both you and the Trinity Free Clinic? Or talk a little bit about how you got started and how those two facilities work or interface, or if they do, with each other, because they're in the same building, basically.
Yeah, we are in the same building. So the Matthew 25 Center is actually just the name of the building.
Okay.
It doesn't have a 501c3 or anything behind it.
Okay.
It's a Matthew 25 Center is what Our Lady of Mount Carmel owns. Matthew 25 Center. They own the building outright. And then operations that happen within it are by the grace of them, because they pay for all of our lights, all of our gas, water, repair, everything. I mean, they are, it's an outstanding, generous parish, and I know God has touched them so much in order to provide such a beautiful building for two entities. The Merciful Help Center actually started as the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Help Committee. It was just a committee, just like any committee in the church, out there to help people, or basically it was to help whoever came in off the street and parishioners. And so it was small for the first many years. It started in 75. I didn't come on board till 1989. And so when I got it, I'm still trying to research exactly all history, because I heard something the other day I hadn't heard. And so I've been working on trying to get all the history together. I was told by Monsignor Duncan that it was his mom and Sally Hogan, who both have since passed away, that were trying to do it. And it was just a checkbook with like $500 in it and a dusty old shelf of food, because they literally couldn't do it anymore. But since then, God has blessed it. And you know how you know God really wants something when it grows exponentially?
Yeah.
And honestly, you can just be standing still and the wind's just going around you, making it all happen. And I've felt like that many, many times. That just my job is to get out of the way. Obviously, he's chosen me and used my organizational skills, but I've always felt inadequate and very humbled by how much he accomplishes here. It's crazy. And so I think it's just slowly, and I could go through all the committees and all the years that we started them and all the people, but I think they all know who they are, and they all know they're pretty darn amazing, and that God has truly shined on them, because we all feel that way. We all feel we're just his hands and feet, and that's it. I mean, other than that, we're specks of dust, and we just get out of his way so he can do amazing work. So the Merciful Help Center, we have chosen not to separate ourselves from the church. That way our employees can be insured by the Lafayette Diocese, and we can we have a lot of protections from the church, and the church donates. So they do a blue envelope every month, and that blue envelope comes here in order to support that work in the Merciful Help Center. And then the Trinity Free Clinic is a separate 501c3, and it has to be for health insurance purposes. So that's a separate organization. So the two organizations work together in unison in the thing. Can it sometimes be a little identity crisis between the two? Occasionally, we're very careful, but we do care about each other greatly, and we refer back and forth constantly. Sure. And you know, somebody can go get food and then check in with the dentist. That's pretty great. It's just nothing but wonderful, really. We do work in tandem. And like when we do Tools for School, which is something I didn't mention, but it's our largest program, where we helped 3,200 kids last year with back to school supplies and shoes and just all sorts of. We also work with a lot of other organizations like Campbellton County Kids Coats that would come in and do coats for us. So we give them to them all year, and then they come and bring lightweight jacket orders for the people that need help.
It's really amazing. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get into some of the pastoral ministries that you that you offer there too as well. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
So the scan button brought you here. Awesome. We like company. Get to know us. And if you have to leave, come back. You're always welcome. Catholic Radio Indy.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or, if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes.
Listening to this radio was really like the jump start of me getting to know Jesus.
This is the station that led me to Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Jane Slayton. She's the Executive Director of the Merciful Help Center in Carmel, Indiana, in Hamilton County, and she's also the Director of Outreach and Pastoral Care at that parish. And Jane, I want to talk about just how the Merciful Help Center, and maybe how with the pastoral care outreach that you do, how have those two areas been impacted by COVID? And I'm just guessing that the demand's just been through the roof, but just tell us about that. I'm surmising.
You're absolutely right. Demand has been through the roof. I'll just give you one statistic for people to be able to compare by. We do, we coordinate, the Merciful Help Center does all the 2-day back sacks for the kids in Carmel that are in need. And on March of last year, we never took a day off. We never closed one day. We just, you know, masked up and just put all sorts of protections in, created a barcode system so it could be touchless and all sorts of stuff. But we couldn't close down because we knew how needed we were in the community. Just in March, at the very beginning of March when it hit, we usually do about 140 to 160 children a week with 2-day back sacks with through all the counselors. And it ended up where the schools closed down, we went to the curb, we ended up doing almost 700 a week.
Oh my.
That's just one thing. Just spread that across all of our ministries, across Merciful Help Center and pastoral care, and it was astronomical. I mean, we had 400% increases for the pantry usage. It was just huge. It's huge. So it's been daunting, exciting, exhausting. The volunteers that were able to come, and we're some of our volunteers we had to deliver food to. Maybe not even financially need. Maybe it was just that they couldn't get out there, that they couldn't even get their click list delivered. But people came through. I put a sign-up genius out for people to pray with people to deliver to people to make a meal and send to people, you know, to give Kathy Welsh more volunteers. We got hundreds of people in like 15 minutes. So people were willing to help us make it. And we knew once we saw that we were going to be okay. Could they be here? No, we had to work twice as hard because we had to do more with less people.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that came made it happen, and it's just wow.
Now, yeah. Jane, when people think of Carmel as a community, the word upscale always comes up. Carmel is overall a wealthy community, a very upscale community, but there is a fair amount of poverty and need, despite the image that Carmel has?
Yeah, I get that question a lot and have for many years. I remember being at Mass one day and they did an announcement that I actually had written for the pulpit about Green Bag Sunday, and the person in front of me said, "I can't believe they're trying to collect food for this community. Why would they ever need that?" You know, and it's just like I just look down and go, wow, look at our line.
Yeah.
When we open, we try to schedule appointments so we can be very courteous of people's time and everything. But wow, I mean, the need is huge. And if you look at Savvy reports and even report just your normal reports that like census reports, even those, you will see that Noblesville is the leader for people in need, and Carmel's right behind. So you think that, but we do, and we do have a lot of affluent areas. So I call ourselves an hourglass. We have people that can help, and we have people that need help, and they're and if you look at the numbers, they're about the same on the lower scale and the upper scale. So we just have to get it there. But then we go into Anderson for projects that we do. And that is very much not an hourglass, where there isn't as many people to help and more of a need. And so you'll see the organizations are more vast in in like Marion County than they are here in Hamilton County. And so we have to do a lot more. So a lot of the organizations are larger because they have to do more because, well, people just don't believe that there's need.
Right.
But I've challenged people, get in my car and I will drive 5 minutes from your house and I will show you three people in need around your house. We'll just drive by and I'll go, three people in need.
Well, it's a great eye opener. It's a great education for people that don't realize that there is a need. So that's another aspect of kind of what you're doing there. I want to get into the pastoral care that you do and the outreach. I want to talk just briefly about the Stephen Ministry program that you do. Talk a little bit about that and what that is and how's the need been impacted by COVID for that.
The Stephen Ministry is a one-to-one ministering. Stephen ministers have to train for 50 hours on things like listening, feelings, crisis theory and practice, codependency, confidentiality, boundaries. There's just so much to learn. And so they go, it's not like they're psychologists or anything. These are well-educated people, but not in psychology, and they're not trying to be therapists. So they're going in the house and they're truly listening to a person, which is quite a lost art form in today's world. There's a lot of talking and less listening, but you guys have a lot of great listeners, so you're you're very fortunate in that area. But so that's one of the ministries, and they're very busy right now. All of our seed ministers, we have a lot of men and women that are listening to people. A couple are doubled up right now. And then we're going to train a new class this summer, and that will be, I think, our 15th team of people that we've trained since 2009.
So it's someone that if someone is in crisis, they can request a Stephen minister, and then they kind of walk with them. Like you said, they're not counselors, but they are able to listen to them and be a mentor—not a mentor, but maybe a support. Someone to listen to, someone to be their friend and kind of help them through this crisis, whatever it is.
That was a great description. We don't use the term friend because it is a official relationship, and
right.
They see them an hour a week. And friendship often ensues after the relationship closes, because sometimes when you're initially a friend, you're very you don't want to share the truth with somebody. Truths are very hard to hear and hard to listen to. And that is the gift Stephen Ministry gives, is honesty and the truth. So we do keep it formal until the close of the relationship. It's beautiful. We have good boundaries is what I guess I should say.
No, that's a good point. Before we run out of time, we've got a couple minutes left, but I want to ask, what are your biggest needs right now? And I'd like to talk a little bit about your volunteers as well, and who can volunteer. I mean, it's not, they don't have to be Catholic to volunteer. Is that right?
No, not at all. And let me just go through, if we just have a second.
Sure. We've got a couple minutes.
Divorce support for children. And, you know, the people that participate in that are not necessarily Catholic either. They're just needing support. And we have three beautiful therapists that run that for us. So, you know, Meals for Family in Crisis, Meals for New Moms. We have a Sunshine group that continually writes to people, and they write to anybody that anybody wants us to. So we are always here and willing to reach out. We don't service just a certain community. We service everybody that walks in. If an alien walked in the front door, we would help them. Seriously, we have no discrimination at all about who we help, and people that come here to help, they do have to go through a protocol through the church, because we do need to make sure that all of our teens and kids that volunteer with us are safe. But then after they do that, they go through training, so everybody knows what they're doing when they walk in, and they're well informed of our practices and how we go about helping. We talk about judgment and how we can fall to judgment, a lot of different things. And not that we don't have to make a call here and there, a judgment call, but, you know, it's just like Stephen Ministry. I ask the people, don't look at the floor I don't care if the floor needs to be swept, because then they think you're looking at that and not their souls and not their hearts and their and the love that they have to give. Just look at that. Don't worry about that. Walk right past it. And that's what we try to do here. So the volunteers are from, I mean, we work with a lot of different organizations. St. Elizabeth Seton is a huge help to us, and so is Holy Spirit Greek Orthodox. So we please, if anybody wants to volunteer, inquire, call us.
So give the number and then the website, since you
okay,
offer
our website
that.
Is, this is a plug. Thank you for the plug. Yep, we have Facebook too, but we wouldn't want to take anything away from you. But it's www.mercifulhelpcenter.org, and then it has a lot of information. And our phone number is 317-663-4039.
So what is the greatest need right now that you have?
Always food. Right now we're heading into creating spring break sacks for kids that are going to be off a week and there's no food during that period of time, so we need boxes of cereal. There isn't a day where we don't need cans of spaghetti sauce. I know that sounds ridiculous, but or tuna. We always need toiletries and paper products for that aisle. And then next week we're running a spring cleaning giveaway. We give spring seeds so people can grow their own food. And then St. Mark's will bring tomato plants, and there's people that bring whole pots. The gardener, master gardeners of Hamilton County bring whole pots of planted things. We give all that so people can be self-sufficient as possible. Things to clean your home that are not covered by food stamps, and accoutrement too, and fresh underwear and socks, which is another ministry I forgot to mention. But it's just a refreshing of your little world. So we need all of those things, everything that I just mentioned. And we always need your clothes. We always need your furniture. We do have certain recommendations, but if you email the furniture ministry, it'll pop back everything right to you that we do take. And I hate to even, like, hit one thing because there's so much. And when people have something that or a little extra, I would love for them to think about us.
So
I love all the organizations around here. So I am kind of like that St. Nick on 34th Street. I really think that you ought to send them to the best place and the closest place to them.
Amen. Well, the MercifulHelpCenter.org is where you can get more information. Our guest today has been Jane Slayton. She's Executive Director of the Merciful Help Center. So thanks so much for being our guest today, Jane.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.